So I'm pretty sure they're not leaving the church. Okay. They're running, huh? Running for the truth. All right, the plan of God, move forward now. Go ahead. Okay, well, I can't guarantee you, but I'll try to be in fellowship as I close off this doctrine. You say, well, what? What did I do to you, Jack? It's not what you did to me, it's what I did to me. Last year I was thinking this was going to be the rapture, so these dates didn't get corrected here in this last point, which my wife pointed out to me, but she did it in a kind way. So these historical markers, well, obviously have to modify them. The modification, the first one's fine. 1948, Ben-Gurion, he was the prime minister of Israel, proclaims the state of Israel based on a UN vote. I think the United States abstained. I don't know. That's in my thinking somewhere. And five, and the minute Israel was declared a nation and voted on in the UN, I know the UN's one world and it's all a mess and everything, but anyway, there was this majority that voted, and Russia voted for Israel to be a nation. I know that. Russia voted thumbs up. So this happened in my lifetime, barely, but in my lifetime, this happened. It was May the 14th, 1948. They declared Israel a nation, and immediately, there's a book on it and tells what happened. Five Arab nations attacked them. It's like this is newborn and we're going to attack them. But Israel prevailed and did some weird things to turn the enemy back. Not just sheer force, but things to scare them. I think it's out of a playbook. One way we can get the enemy to retreat is some fear tactic. Abraham did it. Abraham did it, and Gideon did it. And they took a bunch of taxi cabs. Made them sound like tanks or something. They pulled the mufflers off and put chains on them and all kinds of stuff. You can read about it in a book. And the Arabs, they didn't succeed. They pulled back. So they came under attack immediately. In 1950, that's the Jewish, be like our Congress. The Knesset passes the law of return, and 45,000 Jews were airlifted from Yemen. That's a lot of people, a lot of airplanes to jam people on, even if they're military, big military planes. New immigrants came from around 70 different nations. They just wanted to come home. And there's other stories. In 67, was a six-day war with Jordan. That's just to the east of Israel. It was a six-day war, and for the first time since 70 AD, Israel takes possession of Jerusalem. And, of course, that's a big hot spot right now because the Arabs back in the Muslims, the Muhammad crowd, they put up that Dome of the Rock thing on what the Jews think is the Christians think and is the Holy Temple Mount, the one with the gold dome over it, gold-plated dome, is up there. And there's constant conflict going on with regard to that. area, and the Jews have been planning all through this history to get all the particulars in line, from the priests and their garments to the musical instruments to all of it, to set up this temple that will serve the Jews in the tribulation. The temple that will be desecrated at the midpoint. The temple, some point, they're going to that temple is going to be built. They got all the plans. They got all the material. Every once in a while, they'll run a big old truck around with a big granite stone on it that they quarry, just, I guess, for show. I saw one when I was there. The ancestral home of the Jews is in Hebron, just south of there. And that's where they quarry this granite that they use to build the temple of old and the one that's going to be built. In order for it to be built, the Dome of the Rock thing will have to come down. I don't think the Jews are going to figure out that, hey, this isn't the place where the temple was anyway. Isn't it amazing how people can miss this? Well, there again, if you go to Scripture, you can check something and realize, no, where this wall, where they call the Wailing Wall, and the Jews come up there, and they're bowing down like this with their little hat on, and if you're a tourist, you got to put on a little paper one, and the women are on one side, and the men are on the other, and they're sticking little prayers into the cracks of the rock on a piece of paper. Well, that, when they realize what the joke is, that is the Roman fort. That's the stones from the Roman fort, these big stones. Fort Antonia, that's where Jesus was taken before Pilate. Well, the Romans didn't tear their fort down. They tore the temple down, and that's south of there, a few hundred yards. That's where the temple is. Now it's just a grassy knoll. And across the way is the Mount of Olives through the valley. And all over the side of the Mount of Olives is all these tombstones, the Jewish graves. Anyway, the Jewish Knesset declares Jerusalem the capital of Israel. And it was under the Trump administration that supposedly, correct me if I'm wrong, that now the United States, because before their capital was on the coast, Tel Aviv. But now it recognizes the capital of Israel. This is a big bone of contention. The Palestinians want it. You know, they got that, and all that going on. So I don't know about 217. We said the event to be revealed. Nothing we could figure out. For the rapture, obviously, isn't 2021. It's maybe 2022. If this is the year of the... And people don't want to hear this. They want to live out a life. You want to live out a life in this mess that's going on like this? The spiraling out of control? I'm humanly... I cannot see us having our freedoms and our economic level with the kind of crazies that are in power in the high places in this country. It is almost as if they're trying to destroy the country. Not just incompetence. You can deal with incompetence, but they're actually trying to destroy this country. Throw it into a whatever. Part of the big reset, they call it. The New World Order crowd. Anyway, that would fit that, and then that would change those other dates. Which we already covered. The vision of the valley of the dry bones indicates it presents the physical and the spiritual phases of the restoration of redeemed Israel, starting from the early talk and noise in the world about establishing a Jewish state. And there's a lot more to story than that. It's in the history books. All that went on. You read about the white paper in England. Yes, and some very evil people were involved in wanting the Jews back in the land. So what? God will use evil to advance his plan. I mean, that may sound bad, but we'll see an example of it perhaps here at some point in our review of the doctrine of the Antichrist. So let's shift gears a little bit. We're still dealing with the Jews, but with regard to the Antichrist, the ultimate antagonist to Jesus Christ, claiming to be, once he gets rolling, claiming to be the Messiah, claiming to be deity, and get this. We have in the world today a lot of people who are, and maybe some of them are out in the open with it, but are Luciferians or Satanists. I mean, it's more and more popular than ever with these people, with their hand signs, their clothing, their tattoo, all this kind of action among celebrities and others that indicate that they're signaling to us that they're serving the dark side. I mean, they're doing it openly in places. Openly. Satanism is coming out of the closet big time among the general masses. But there's always been this satanic group who have sold their souls, so to speak, for wealth and power to the god of this world in their initiations and stuff. I've read stories of people who took these initiations, became big stars, and others that said, no, I'm not going to tie myself to that. Some of these people, all this money and all this power, they are slaves to that cult, a satanic cult. Anyway, the Antichrist will be unabashed in his declaration that he is at war with Jesus Christ. Not just his people on earth and the nations that he wants to subjugate. It's a fake Christ, see? It's the ultimate fake Christ. And unlike other fake Christs that have appeared from time to time, and there are those on the earth to this day that are they're claiming to be the Messiah. There's a Jewish rabbi. There's a guy in Iran. On and on it goes. And then, of course, remember Reverend Moon? A South Korean guy? Had this big following cult, did these mass marriages. He claimed, unabashedly, and he rubbed shoulders with people in high places. He claimed to be the Messiah. Well, he's dead. Jesus said that in the last days, many false prophets and a step beyond that, many false Christs will arise. They've been all over the place. Some of them are Jewish, some of them are Gentile, it's all that. But this is the ultimate. And so with regard to his titles, the Antichrist, 1 John 4:3, children, it is the last hour. And just as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have appeared. From this we know that it's the last hour. What's it tell me, among other things? This is the intensification of the angelic conflict. There's always been false prophets and people running around. But this is an intensified type of an attack against humanity. And God permits, this is the hardest part of being a believer, is what God lets occur, what he permits before he shuts it down. But anything he permits will never, ever jeopardize one thing at all in his plan. He is also called the beast. Beast. I think that will be the primary name that his followers, his fanatical followers, will call him. He's the beast. Little horn. A horn on an animal like, a Cape Buffalo or some bull, some big... the horn on animals that are horned, it represents power. It's a symbol of power because he goes at people with his horn. All right? So that indicates power. A man of lawlessness. 2 Thessalonians 2, 3, and 8. So through Scripture, there is a reference from time to time of this individual, the ultimate Antichrist, antagonist. This verse is subject to interpretation, and you can go two ways with it. And conservative interpreters have gone two ways with it. Let no one in any way deceive you. Now, the Thessalonians, they're clear back in the first century. But there were dummies running around saying, we're in the day of the Lord. And they almost had to be Christians saying this. And that the reason the Thessalonians were suffering so much persecution was that they were in the day of the Lord. And Paul has to write 2 Thessalonians to a really healthy group of believers as a corrective. And specifically, the area they got off base in is prophetic. They got taken in. And he had to write this. Thankfully he did. We benefit from the information in it. Let no one in any way deceive you. For it will not come unless the apostasy comes first. That it is a reference to the day of the Lord and the arrival of the Antichrist on the world stage. Unless the apostasy comes first. And this apostasy has been taken in two completely different ways, based on the Greek noun. Falling away. And some think it just refers to at the end times, believers are going to go south spiritually, right and left. And we know that Christians on earth and in this country, it's bad enough what they are. They've gone from bad to worse. I mean, the old school fundamentalists and stuff, yeah, they had their problems, but things have infiltrated their ranks, all kinds, and they've fallen away from what they had. That I accept that. That's all you got to do is look around at your grandparents' church, maybe, compared to what it is today. More liberal. Of course, these mega churches, all they are is big businesses to entertain people to get their money and make some guy at the head of it rich. These mega churches. They're just hollowed out, fake stuff with all their programs, all of it. But anyway, the apostasy comes first. This is true. I've seen it in other areas. I've seen them embrace things a particular institution that they would have never embraced back in the day. Way off the wall stuff. I wouldn't be surprised at anything. Where they give a nod to same-sex marriages, and I can just imagine. I know the liberal churches probably do. So that could be the interpretation here, but I lean towards that it's a technical word for the rapture. The rapture comes first. That makes more sense to me because apostasy continues. But anyway, be that as it may. Because I do know this, the minute the rapture occurs, a couple other notable things are going to occur at that moment in time. The Antichrist is going to come up out of his remains, wherever they are. We'll make reference to the fact of who the Antichrist is and his remains. He's going to have to prove that he is who he is. He's going to have a one-of-a-kind claim, almost. See, it's a fake Christ. It's the ultimate fake Christ. He comes back from the dead. Well, how could he do that? Satan doesn't have the power to raise the dead. He can kill people. He has the power to raise the dead. That's God's jurisdiction, completely. Stick with me. If people want to believe a lie, and they want to believe this garbage, God will send them strong delusion. As he did in the ancient world, when they all went headlong into their polytheism, their multiple gods, he let them run amok. He didn't stop them. He didn't come down out of heaven and say, if you do that, I'll kill you. He let them, and he lets these people today run amok with their evil, and then he steps in at an appropriate time. So, he's going to send the world. Allow this to happen. He, without God and his power over this man, he could never show up on the scene. And it is going to be so outstanding and phenomenal that negative volition is just going to absolutely, like a magnet, come to him. So quick. So the first thing, the other thing that's going to happen when the rapture occurs is the Antichrist is going to pop up. And when he pops up, it's going to be really dramatic. And his minister of propaganda, the false prophet. He's a man from the past. A notable false prophet from the past. Not just some little quack out here. I mean, a big time one that is known by a lot of people who study this sort of thing by name. And Moses and Elijah, nonetheless, are going to appear in the same place where John the Baptist conducted his ministry. And they're going to get worldwide attention. Two prophets out there, if they could, didn't have, because Moses and Elijah, unlike most of the other prophets, they were involved in miracle working. Most of the prophets didn't do miracles, but Moses and Elijah did. It fit their niche, and Moses and Elijah are going to be here, and they're going to be in Israel, and they're going to bring environmental judgments on the nations whenever they say it. Exactly what will happen. Fire out of heaven. Turning water to blood. Who did that? Oh, Moses. I mean, under Moses. That happened. And as often as they do it, it's in Revelation, these things will happen. And oh, will the cosmos hate them? They will hate them. Attempts will be made on their lives. How hard would it be to go kill two prophet standing out there with a sniper? But everything that is done is frustrated so that they can minister for 3.5 years. 1/2 of the tribulation. So we're going to have 4 people come back from the past. 2 on the good side, 2 on the bad side. And we're studying the Antichrist here. So in 2 Thessalonians 2, unless the falling away comes first, I'll go with my view on this. And the man of lawlessness is revealed. He's called the man of lawlessness. And another title, son of destruction. What does that mean? That means that his end is destruction. Personally and at the hand of Jesus Christ, not through an intermediary. Who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God. Allah, the Muslim deity. Allah, that's an example. Against every so-called God. All these gods out here besides the ones of the Bible are all fake. They're made up. So-called God or object of worship. Anything that's an object of worship, aside from him. He is completely, totally intolerant of people and their religious beliefs. An object of worship would be people who pray to the Blessed Virgin Mary, Catholics. That's an object of worship. There was a real Mary, but she was never turned into deity. She was a woman. Nobody promoted her to deity. We don't have a fourth member of the Godhead. Silly stuff. so that he takes his seat in the temple of God. That's the one I was talking about. It has to be that the Jews are that the Jews got all they got everything waiting in the wings. They get the green light. That thing's going up in no time. They got a priesthood lined out. They got the garments from all. They've researched everything, even to the colors of the dyes in the various garments and everything. You read all about all the paraphernalia in the temple and in the tabernacle. This is all going to be ready to go. I still have a question about, are they going to find the Ark of the Covenant, the original? I don't think the original was destroyed. I think it's been hidden. I think it's escaped two situations, the fall of Solomon's temple and the fall of Herod's temple. And they've squirreled it away somewhere. And there's a lot of theories about who took it and where it's at. Everything from Ethiopia to somewhere in the British Isles. I mean, all this stuff about where the Ark of the Covenant wound up. Because in the first fall of Jerusalem, they took these special objects and they hid them. Some say they're buried right in the neighborhood out there. They buried them in a cave before the enemy could get their hands on it. The Ark of the Covenant. It has a history of don't mess with it. Don't touch it. The Philistines captured it, put it in the temple of their god, Dagon, fish god, because they were mariners. They colonized overseas. And they got rid of it real quick. The minute they put it in there, the big statue of their god, Dagon, fell on its face and broke into a million pieces. So they got to get rid of this. So they got some oxen and sent it back to Israel. Ark of the Covenant. But that temple, he will exalt himself above every so-called god or object, takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. The only human that could do that would be Christ. I and my Father are one, etc., 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 etc. He's the God-man. But this man claims to be the God-man. He says he is God, he is the only God, and you worship me or I'll kill you. Your religion is over. Well, you'd have to enforce that, and that means conquering the whole world, which he won't be able to do. Okay, I'll let you go. The singer was Neil Diamond. Coming to America. Thank you, Father, for the time together. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.